Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Pardon me. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging seas when its waves mount up. You still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endowed with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favour you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
So, yes, we might all have our unique ways of expressing our praise to the Lord, and perhaps this pastor hasn't quite come to terms with that, as he says to the gentleman, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but I would prefer amen or hallelujah to booyah and you da man. That's for you, Alfie. Yeah. And what a way that the psalmist bursts into this magnificent psalm of praise and rejoicing and declaration of the goodness and greatness of the Lord Almighty. And the psalmist certainly gives us a wonderful example of what it looks like to praise the Lord, expressing admiration and commendation of the Lord for his character, and exalting the Lord, lifting his name above all names, giving his highest acclamation to the Lord. And we see that there is so much about the Lord's character that is praiseworthy, as well as what he's done and will do. He bursts into declarations of the Lord's faithfulness and love. Or in some translations, love is loving kindness or mercy. He does this twice in as many verses. This guy is on fire. What an example for us. I think we would do so well to emphasize the way he does the Lord's attributes. Let's not think that praising the Lord for his love and any other of his marvelous attributes can be exhausted in one mere sentence. After all, the psalmist says, the Lord's great love, or great mercy, stands firm forever. What is this love that he's talking about? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This love is demonstrated in the unchangeable event in history of Jesus, his birth, his life, his death and resurrection. And we experience this love in our massive spiritual shift from living in darkness to living in the light of the Lord's kingdom. His love is unchangeable, undiminishable, inexhaustible. And it's not dependent on anything other than himself. And is the Lord dependable? Yes, he's faithful. For something to last forever, as the psalmist declares the Lord's love does, it cannot be dependent on the oscillating, flippant, sinful nature of humankind. And if it did, we'd been a real mess, constantly trying to earn the Lord's love. But no, his love is unending. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The Lord cannot love us any more and cannot love us any less. What a joy to know that the Lord's love for you and I will never waver, even when our love for others probably does. His love never fails. It never gives up on us. In fact, his perfect love drives out all fear. We need nothing more than his love, so what is left to fear? Whatever trial you're facing at the moment will not dampen the Lord's love poured out into you. So right there is a reason we can always praise and rejoice in the Lord. The Lord's love is not dependent on us or our circumstances. His love and mercy towards us is a tangible reality in our lives, the forgiveness of sin, the strength and power and wisdom that is all accessible to us, the Holy Spirit that we have given to us that empowers us to live the life that the Lord wants us to. And remember, this Holy Spirit is the very power through the Lord's word that brought creation into being, that rose Jesus from the dead. This is the Holy Spirit in us, and we have it because of the Lord's great mercy and love for us. Is there no end to how we can praise the Lord? And I've only just touched on his love. We can truly say that none other in heaven and earth is more worthy of our praise than the Lord God Almighty. So let's get back to these verses. Coupled with the Lord's love, the psalmist declares the Lord's faithfulness. He says in the first two verses that he will make known the Lord's faithfulness to future generations and declares that the Lord established his faithfulness in heaven itself. So we could say that the Lord's faithfulness is as firm and everlasting as heaven itself. There is no fading or failing or cutting corners in heaven. So it is with the faithfulness of our Lord God. His faithfulness can be described as his steadfastness, his loyalty to keep his promises, and his power to bring into effect those promises. His ability to remain true to his very nature and his trustworthiness. He is reliable and worthy of all our complete trust and faith. Even when we feel our faith is lacking, he will remain faithful because he cannot deny his very nature. Whatever the Lord speaks comes into being. Whatever he promises will come to pass. No wonder the psalmist has such great confidence in declaring the Lord's faithfulness to future generations, because his faithfulness will never change despite time passing and despite those generations changing and despite us changing. Indeed, we cannot be consistent even within ourselves. We act a different way to what we believe and what we think. So there is no comparison of humankind's weakened faithfulness to the Lord's faithfulness. What realities of the Lord's faithfulness have you experienced recently? For me, I see almost on a daily basis the way the Lord provides for me and my family's unique, special needs of what he knows we need. Time, rest, practically food, money, encouragement. And this is the Lord keeping his promise to me that he's written in Matthew 6:31. He says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And this has been my experience. As I've sought first his kingdom, these things have been taken care of, because his kingdom comes fully equipped with everything that I need. Have you stopped to think about how the Lord has been faithful to you this week? And have you praised him for it? And the psalmist reminds us of another very tangible demonstration of the Lord's faithfulness when he speaks of the covenant or the promise that the Lord made with David. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. This is a reference back to 2 Samuel 7:16, with the Lord speaking to Nathan the prophet to give a word to King David. And it's paraphrased something like this. The succession of rulers coming from your family, governing as king over your people, the Israelites, and that king's authority shall be established for all eternity. Big promise. Your house, your dynasty, the rulers from your family line and their authority will be established forever. Big promise from a big God. And we have a God who is almighty to keep his promises. And of course, this promise has already been fulfilled in Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is that promised king who will reign forever and has complete authority. And what does it mean for us that Jesus will reign forever and that he is the king? Well, he is also our priest, which means we have the mother of all blessings, the forgiveness of sins. We have a life of freedom and we have an eternity with God. We live in the Lord's kingdom, which is ruled with righteousness, justice, love, and faithfulness. What other king or kingdom is like this? None. None other in heaven and earth is more worthy of all of our praise than the Lord God Almighty. Surely we can never be short of praises for the Lord. We can praise God to our children and our families. We can praise God to our friends. We can daily, even hourly, thank the Lord for his loving kindness and mercy and rejoice in his faithfulness to keep his promises. Which of God's promises have you read lately or been reminded of? Even those nine that Cheryl read out this morning. Which of those really stuck with you? And be rest assured that they will come to pass in your life. When we see and praise the Lord for his attributes, surely the intensity of our current circumstances will become easier to bear. And we will then see the situation through the loving kindness and faithfulness of the Lord. How will we praise our Almighty Lord and rejoice in his faithfulness despite our individual current circumstances? Well, beam me up, Scotty. Let's head to the ship of Star Trek. Not a concept I'm familiar with. And these three look rather interesting. Truth be told, Sam couldn't really help me out either when we were talking about it. These guys were teleported from their ship to other places. We don't need a machine to transport us, because the language in the next four verses transport us right into heaven itself. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty and your faithfulness surrounds you. It paints the wonderful picture of the Lord God Almighty at the center of all praise and glory, amongst the council, the assembly of the holy ones, completely surrounded. And indeed, he is in the center, because he's completely surrounded and they are all looking to him. And they're praising him for his wonders. What wonders might that be? All the marvelous, miraculous displays of creativity and power of the Lord. Creation itself is a wonder. and the sum of all its stunning, unfathomable, intricately designed inhabitants. What about the wonder of the Lord's love? His faithfulness, his power, his presence. What about the wonder of his intervening and the wonder of his answering our prayers? And we have the greatest miracle of all, the resurrection of a sinner to salvation. These are all things that make us wonder in awe. He is praised for his wonders by these heavenly beings. He is praised for his faithfulness again, and he is greatly feared. He is revered, respected, given his rightful place as having all authority and power. He is the Almighty and most awesome. The psalmist is so taken by the greatness of the Almighty that he asks twice the rhetorical question, "Who is like you? This guy is still on fire." Surely there is no response to this question other than none. No one can compare with the Lord. After all, he is the very source, the origin of all power. All power and authority that anyone or any heavenly being has. He alone is the creator. There is no fault or weakness in the Lord. He is the Holy One. Indeed, we are reminded and given good reason to declare ourselves that there none other in heaven and earth is more worthy of all our praise than the Lord God Almighty. Surely our self-focus and our sometimes trivial complaints are all absorbed into nothing when we, like the heavenly beings, come into the Lord's presence to praise his wonders. To praise his wonders and miracles in our lives, to praise him for his faithfulness, as we too declare his might and power and authority and awesomeness. Is your God and my God this big? This big. For sure, the Lord God Almighty is big and worthy of all our praise. How will you take time to praise this big God this week? You can praise God when you first open your eyes. You can praise God when you're in the shower. You can praise God before you eat. You can praise God while you're driving the car. You can praise God in between appointments and errands. Much more exciting than Facebook. We can rejoice in the attributes of the Lord as we read our Bible. Every word is God-breathed. The Bible is the very revelation of the Lord's character and attributes. Making time to open the word is like coming into his presence. And singing him praises is like us surrounding him in heaven. What might look different this week in our lives? Because we know that none other in heaven and earth is more worthy of all our praise than the Lord God Almighty. So, let's settle ourselves back down to earth and to the surging sea. The surging sea is uncontrollable by man, but not so for our great big Lord. He stills the raging waves at a single command. The rule and power that the Lord has is over creation, and it's also over his enemies, crushing them. Rahab refers to Egypt and the deliverance of the Jews from under the oppression of the Egyptians. The Lord has power to rule over the events of history. And the psalmist draws our mind to the widest point of creation in verses 11 and 12. From the highest of heights in the heavens down to the earth, you created the north and the south. The Tabor was a mountain in the east, and Hermon was a mountain in the west. The psalmist is drawing our mind to every possible known part of the world and saying the Lord created this and it's his possession. This is how big he is. And then as we look to verse 13 that talks about the Lord's power and strength, Charles Spurgeon sums up perfectly the greatness of the Lord's power to perform the greatest miracle of all, turning our hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. This is what he writes. Conversion is also called a resurrection. It will be a great feat of power when dead carcasses shall live at the sound of the last trumpet, but it is an equal wonder when the dry bones of dead sinners come to life, when those who were scattered at the grave's mouth, the hopeless, graceless, Christless, nevertheless are made to live at the sounding of God's word by the power of the Spirit. Who but God could have made you what you are? Consider what you were and reflect upon the glorious position to which the Lord has brought you by the blood of the cross. Think what rebels you were and how set on mischief your nature was. And now, subdued by sovereign grace, your spirit longs for his embrace. You follow after holiness and seek to have it perfected in the fear of God. To turn the wilderness into springs of water and the desert into a flowing stream is nothing compared with turning the dead, cold, dry heart of man into a mighty wellspring of love springing up into eternal life. And he ends it by saying, "Glory be to thy power, O thy infinitely mighty Jehovah. Thou hast a mighty arm. None other in heaven and earth is more worthy of all our praise than the Lord God Almighty." And what about the Lord's reign? His kingdom rule is based on righteousness and justice. Righteousness is the quality of being 100% moral. He determined what is right, and he is by very nature righteousness. And he rules with justice. Justice is giving to everyone what is due to him or her. So condemnation for the guilty and acquittal for the innocent. Romans 8 tells us now there is no condemnation for those who believe in Jesus, because there is no longer any guilt, because Jesus took on our guilt and our condemnation, and he took on the just punishment for our sins. The graciousness of our Lord. Those who look to the name and person of Jesus are therefore acquitted, set free, considered innocent. What a marvellous and extraordinary truth that is, that the Lord is just and merciful. And the psalmist is eager to remind us of this in verse 14. The four attributes of the Lord cannot be separated: righteousness, justice, love, and faithfulness. They go together. So where do we fit in? Where do we fit into this picture of such an awesome God? Where do we stand in relation to this righteous God? Well, let's read verse 14. "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord." We can walk in his presence, this almighty God. We can be in fellowship with him. We can be in communion with him. And when we walk in the light, we won't stumble. How can this be, that we can have a personal father-child relationship with our Creator and big God? Well, the psalmist already reminded us back in verses 3 and 4 when he was talking about the covenant to David, with David. The coming of the King who will rule forever, that's Jesus Christ. And he is the only way we can be counted as not guilty, having no condemnation. And therefore, the justice served unto us is acquittal. Freedom for the recently made innocent. Only through faith in Jesus can we walk in the light of our big God's presence. The God to whom no one can compare is the same God that shines his light on us so we won't stumble. In whose presence our circumstances are brought from hopeless to hopeful. Is this the place you're walking at the moment? Have you accepted Jesus as your Saviour? Then this Almighty God is your Heavenly Father through Jesus. And are we allowing him to guide our ways? Are we living and walking through life with our face towards the Lord and his presence? Well, what benefits does the psalmist remind us of when we do learn to acclaim the Lord, like it says in verse 15, and as we walk in the light of the Lord's presence? Well, verse 17 reminds us that indeed he is our glory and he is our strength. Our strength to get through the day and the week and the month and the year. He's our strength to love others when they may not love us back. He's our strength to withstand the enemy's schemes. And by the favour or mercy of the Lord, he exalts our horn. Now a horn was an instrument worn around the neck, and the wearer would exult or lift up the horn when he or she was in good spirits, in a confident frame of mind, full of strength and courage. And it says that the favour of the Lord exalts our horn. The mercy and blessings of the Lord enables us to lift up our horn, to be full of courage, confident that the Lord is like no other, and he is on our side. We walk together with this big, almighty God. So what is the response? What is our response to our big God? Well, what else could we do but praise and rejoice in him? Just like the psalmist does. Our response must be, like in these verses, to acclaim the Lord, to praise him enthusiastically, to rejoice in the Lord and celebrate his righteousness. None other in heaven and earth is more worthy of all our praise than the Lord God Almighty. So this week, shall we praise the Lord for his loving kindness, for his faithfulness, for his wonders and his awesomeness? Shall we sing of shall we declare his incomparable power and authority to all the generations around us? Shall we sing of his righteousness, his justice, his favour, his glory and his strength? Indeed, and not just this week, but next week and the week after and forever. We can praise the Lord in prayer. We can praise the Lord in song. We can praise the Lord in conversation with others. Are you struggling with sin? Praise the Lord for his forgiveness and his power over sin. Are you struggling to be loving and patient to others? Praise the Lord for his unending love and his Holy Spirit in you to enable you to love others. Let's remind each other of the Lord's attributes as a remedy to those aspects in life that we're struggling with. The Lord is not short of attributes to meet our needs, and surely we cannot be short of attributes to praise the Lord for. And since there is none like him, to whom else deserves all our praise and acclamation? None. We can rejoice in him as we walk in his presence, seeing our daily circumstances through his character and through those new eyes that Cheryl prayed with this morning. So let's start as we mean to go on. And I'd love for us to read some verses together out aloud. I've changed the wording so that it's inclusive of we as a body. And I want to hear you say it loud and proud, like you really mean it. Try and outdo the person next to you, although there's no competition. Although that would mean we'd be louder. So let's go. Blessed are we who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. We rejoice in your name all day long. We celebrate your righteousness. For you are our glory and strength, and by your favour you exalt our horn. And if you want to go right ahead and say, and you're the man, you go right ahead. So let me just praise the Lord in prayer, and then we'll probably praise the Lord in singing. Lord, we praise you for who you are, your unchangeable character of unfailing love and faithfulness, for your perfect righteousness and justice. We praise you above all else because you are worthy. We praise you for your mercy on us and your power and authority over death and the enemy. We sing of your great love forever. We rejoice in your name all day long and we celebrate your righteousness. We thank you for sending Jesus to make the only way for us to walk in the light of your presence. Lord, please increase our awe and wonder of you. Please increase our heart's desire to praise and worship you. In the name of the precious Lord. Amen.